Good morning to everyone. So as has already been mentioned this morning, today is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I heard that term and I kind of guessed and kind of felt like I knew what it meant, but I really didn't know the history of the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. So I was like, well, let me do a little digging. And the more I dug, the more I'm like, I think I should probably preach on this. And we don't hear a sermon on abortion very often. This morning is going to be somewhat about abortion, but also really emphasizing the value of human life, especially children. The Sanctity of Human Life Sunday was established in the 1980s, 1984, when then President Ronald Reagan established a National Sanctity of Human Life Day on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. The purpose of that was to underscore the value of human life, particularly the unborn, and encourage awareness, prayer, and advocacy within churches and communities. Now, within the last year or so, Roe versus Wade has been reversed, but it hasn't cut down the amount of abortions. Abortions are still going up every single year. Many of the states, it's now back to the states, but many of those states are making decisions that are pro-murder, pro-abortion. And so we need to witness and to push back against that as we can, as the quiet in the land and showing our lives, but also trying to help those that are having abortions. Many churches across the nation began setting aside the Sunday that's closest to January 22nd as the Human Life Sunday. So that's why we're at today. And then using it to focus on teaching about the dignity of life and practical ways to uphold it. This morning we're going to be looking at the value of human life through creation, through the Old Testament, and then a little bit through Christ, and then finally focusing on what we can do, what's our responsibility to love, nourish our children, as well as a little bit towards the end a little more on abortion. We're going to start with Genesis 1, 26 and 20 through 28, if you want to turn there. We're going to be looking at how we are all made in the image of God. So Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Every person at every stage of life was created and designed by God. We possess a unique worth because we all bear God's image. This truth is really the foundation to our stance on abortion and why we as humans are so valuable in God's eyes. It's here also that God gives the first recorded command to men in the Bible, if I'm not missing anything. And that command is, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth. It means have children. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. So not only did God design us and create us, but then he breathes his life into us. Now, if you turn with me to Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when there was yet none of them. So each and every child, when it is conceived, God forms that child, puts it in the womb of the mother, and it has a life that God has planned out for it. Who are we to take that life away? Who is anyone to take that life away? It's a little bit of a sobering thought. We continue looking at what the Old Testament says. Back in Genesis 4:10 is the first account of someone taking a human life. And the Lord says, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." It says in the New Testament that God watches every sparrow that falls. And if the voice of one brother's blood is crying from the ground, what more the 900,000 children every year in the U.S.? God is intimately aware of every life and injustice, especially the shedding of innocent blood, that in it deeply offends his holiness. This includes the most vulnerable lives among us, which is why the unborn must be protected at all costs. Exodus 20:13, the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not murder." That sixth commandment forms a foundational moral law prohibiting the unjust taking of human life. It applies to all people, regarding us to safeguard the sanctity of human life at every stage. When we cherish life in the womb, we follow the spirit of the command and recognize that unborn children are included in God's broader mandate to protect and value every human being. In Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, I love this passage. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the loom a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with the enemies in the gate." That is the complete opposite stance of the U.S. today in culture. In culture, it is all about me, my life. How high can I rise in the ranks of the company? How long can I work? How many hours can I put in every week? It's not about children. It's not about raising them. It's extremely selfish in every way, honestly. This means so much more to me now that I have children, right? And look at them running around home, church, and they are such a blessing. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." In Isaiah 49:1, "Listen to me, O coastlands, give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name." So the Lord is naming us before we are ever born. Many examples back through the Old Testament, including most of these that I've talked about, that just emphasize over and over again God's creation and his love for every person. We see that as we move into the New Testament, we look at Jesus Christ's life. Jesus was born as a child, baby, and spent his childhood growing up in what I assume a fairly innocent child life. I know at 12, you know, he ended up in the temple and serving his Father in heaven, and none of us know where that cogging and knowing everything happened. You know, I really would struggle to believe that Jesus came out of the womb and at 2 years old, he's laying there and his brain is spinning and he's thinking about all the things he needs to get done in this world because he's a baby. But Jesus knew that life. And in Mark 10 through 13, many of the Jews were bringing their children to Christ to bless them. In Luke, it actually says they're bringing infants, and we're going to read this passage. But the people were rebuking him and saying, "No, he doesn't have time. Don't bring the children." Mark 10, 13 through 16. "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." Luke 18, 15 through 17. Same story. "Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to them, saying, 'Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So when the disciples did not have time for the children because God had more important things to do, and it's more important to save the adults, Jesus said, "No. The children are the most important. We need to raise them and teach them Christ, the Bible, the truth, and to know God." We need to do the same. We need to raise our children in Christ and in God. Teach them. Read them Bible stories. Sing to them. In 2020, there were over 900,000 abortions. 930,000 recorded. It's approximately, and these numbers, the approximations are all under the actual, but 2,500 abortions per day, or about 100 abortions every single hour, or 3 abortions every 2 minutes, which means what I've been speaking about, 30, 40 children have been killed in the U.S. Abortion dismisses the sacred value that God places on every single child. it robs that potential that God has for them. Someone mentioned earlier, or he mentioned earlier, that, you know, we have child sacrifices in other countries in the U.S. than the U.S. I would reverse on that and say we had child sacrifice in the U.S. We're not, nowhere are they laying children on an altar that we're aware of in the U.S. to offer them straight to Satan. But people are sacrificing children for their own desires and wants, right? So my life's too busy. I've got too much going. It wasn't when I wanted it. So we're going to sacrifice that child that God created and that God has a calling for so that we can keep living our selfish life. What can we do? Well, number one, we can value and take care of the children that we have. In Psalm 127, as we read earlier, God calls children a heritage from the Lord. We can view each child that's in our care, whether that's biological, foster, adopted, as a treasure that God has entrusted us with. We as parents can spend time at home teaching those children about Scripture, showing them Christ's love, guiding them to the faith. There's no better way to teach than by example. You don't have to say much, but if you don't get angry, you have calm words, you're reading your Bible when they get up in the morning, those things all mean so much to a child. You don't have to have children to help support children. In the church, you can teach Sunday school. You can help babysit. Doesn't even have to be children within the church. There's so many ways to reach out and help. Child rearing is a responsibility of the parents, but parents can't do it alone. Parents need a community around them to help support the parents, help teach at school. We can also advocate for the sanctity of life in the broader community, and this is very important and very scary in the world in which we live. It's scary what people will think of us, what reaction we might get, but I think it's worth it. I know it's worth it. There are lots and lots across the United States of places that are doing this work and reaching out. We can definitely help support those as well. I think there's one that's in your bulletin this morning, but you don't have to go to that one. There's many, many more as well. You can pray for sure. As a summary, from creation to death, Christ has a plan for each and every single person. God wants us to live out that plan, whether that be getting up here in front and giving a sermon that you, felt really stressed about, or whatever it might be, God has a plan for you in your life. And I could preach a sermon on saying no in your life and how that's a good thing, because we all have too much things and we need to say no to things, but we also need to say yes to things, even when it's not something you necessarily want to do. We can pray, especially for anyone who's had an abortion. That's not a thing that will, if you repent of it and come clean to God, it's not going to keep you from His side. But it is something that is a lifelong decision that really hurts. And before I close, I want to talk really quickly to the few children that are sitting in here. I was going to do this morning at Sunday school, and we didn't have Sunday school. But you are special, each and every one of you children. You each have a plan for your life. God does. You're one of a kind, you know? So know that. Feel loved by your parents. Grow. Have children of your own. And just know that God loves you and each every one of you.